Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, fantasy baseball world. It is a beautiful July 30th. Happy trade deadline Eve day, everybody. With me today in studio is the host who does it all, Adam Azer, and my boy, Al Melchior, also known as Old Dirty Baby. Gentlemen, what is going on?
Oh, you tell me. What happened just there? Like, what was that?
Was that good?
Yeah, it was fine. But why did you... You asked me if you could do the intro. Was there a reason?
Let's
you
just change it up, right? Okay. I mean, you know, like... You always do the
Herc
hard work.
Wants to be the host.
Works for me, Herc. Works for me.
But I would turn it back over to Adam now. So.
That is Michael Hercom. I am Adam Azer, and Al Melchior is here as well. We have a busy Wednesday show, July 30th. I don't need to do an intro. It's already been done. We'll talk about some injuries, obviously the trade deadline. The worryometer's coming out today. Marcus Stroman was good again. Trevor Bauer and Ruby De La Rosa were not. And hey, Francisco Liriano, 73% owned. He's got an ERA under 1 in his last three starts. What trade would you guys like to see go down today and tomorrow?
Well, I was just saying, love to see Lester the Marlins. I don't think it's going to happen. What I do think will probably happen is Lester the Pirates, and I think that'd be pretty cool too.
I know it's not going to happen, but I wouldn't mind seeing the Mets package some prospects of the Rockies for Troy Tulowitzki. I know he's got the injury problems, but he's got a decent contract for the Mets. And, hey, you know, if he can get him 120, 130 games of what Troy Tulowitzki does, I know they don't play in Coors Field, but you had an interesting stat about Citi Field the other day. It has the second most home runs or something?
Fifth best home run park since they brought the fences in.
There we go. So, you know, Tulowitzki, not nice maybe 30 home run guy add to the Mets lineup. That'd be fine by me.
Yeah, for 120 games.
That's okay.
I'll see if the Giants go out and make a move because Matt Cain is going to see Dr. James Andrews as we start with the big news. And with Cain going to see Dr. Andrews, with Ryan Zimmerman having a grade 3 hamstring strain, according to Bill Ladston, a beat writer for MLB.com for the Nationals, Zimmerman could be out a while. Are Cain and Zimmerman droppable at this point?
Yeah, I would say not yet on either of them. I just like to wait for that final word. Cain's out for the season. Zimmerman's out, you know, till September. Those kinds of news tidbits before I make that very final decision.
Okay. How about Jacob DeGrom? 185 innings pitched limit. Innings pitched? No. 185 innings limit. That's how normal people say it. So he's about 60 away from that right now. The Mets... Looks like they're leaning toward just letting him pitch it out, not skipping him at all.
And not letting him pitch during the playoff stretch?
No.
In September?
Unfortunately, no. And he will not be pitching in October, DeGrom. But, all right, so 60 starts.
It's about 10 starts if he averages 6 innings a start.
That's a pretty good amount.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it looks like you'll have DeGrom for a while. And Vin Scully we're going to have for another year. He'll be back for his 66th season. Next year with the Dodgers. He's 86 years old. And it's kind of cool the way they announced it.
Are you going to have 66 years of podcasting, Adam?
That would take me up to, like, my 90s.
There you go.
So, God willing, yeah. I'll be doing this for another 60 years. Good stuff. Trades. Nothing went down yesterday. John Lester was scratched from tonight's start, so very good. Well... Good, you know, there's a chance that he's getting traded. Brandon Workman's going to be called up to make the start against Toronto. So what would happen in the Red Sox rotation? This would obviously get Workman a very good chance to stick.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and he's clearly the first candidate to fill that spot, but Anthony Renato is in that mix.
Yeah, I was going to throw his name out there because he's having a really good year at AAA, and he needs innings because he actually has been pitching a lot in the minors. But they need to increase his innings by 30 again this year so he can pitch maybe 200 next year. So he needs, if the AAA season, he could get a chance to come up.
Is he exciting for fantasy owners?
I find Workman to be the most interesting.
All right.
But, I definitely bid on him in deeper leagues.
He's on the 40-man roster too, so it's not that difficult to move for the Red Sox.
It seems that Cole Hamels is not going to be traded. David Price still could be traded. Justin Masterson and Asdrubal Cabrera are reportedly on the block. ESPN reports Gerardo Parra is being shopped.
You know who else is on the block?
Who's that?
Jenny.
No, She's from the block, Al.
She's
no longer on the block, which is why she had to
assert that she was
that
from the block. Yeah.
And have you seen the classic?
That was still good, Al. I enjoy that.
Nah. Have you seen the classic Fox News blooper regarding that video?
No.
All right. Not safe for work, everyone. But if you are a grown-up.
Which I'm not.
And you'd like to find this. Let me just.
I think I know where this one's going. I can see this.
It's Shepard Smith, Jenny from the block. That's all you have to type in. Shepard Smith, Jenny from the block. And enjoy yourself. But don't watch it at work. Watch it at home with your perverted friends. let's see. What else? John Heyman reports LaTroy Hawkins likely to stay in Colorado. The Yankees and the Mariners are interested in Josh Willingham. I think that would be bad for Willingham. Because what I read, at least for the Yankees, is that he might be a platoon with Ichiro, and he'd start against lefties.
Yeah.
So he would not necessarily be an everyday player. Getting out of Target Field would be great. Going to Safeco wouldn't. Going to Yankee Stadium would be good. But
you know, he's one guy that even though power is his game, it doesn't seem to matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. But it can't hurt to go to a smaller park.
If he plays every day, it can't.
And the New York Post reported that the Padres are leaning towards keeping Ian Kennedy. Are there small?
You missed one important one. Jacquin Benoit, still very likely he could get traded. Come on, it was good. I did my best.
Joaquin Benoit. Yeah.
So he's still. That's the latest rumor is that the Padres are still shopping him. So, Kevin Quackenbush, nice stash.
Why not Thayer?
Because Quackenbush is more fun to say.
And look at Quackenbush's history as a closer in the minors. He was very good.
Who pitched the eighth yesterday?
I don't know. It's just I have been favoring Thayer because it seems like he pitches the eighth more, but I honestly haven't tracked it.
And you said, Quackenbush is just a fun
name.
It's
more fun to say.
Yesterday it was Quackenbush with no Thayer.
And Thayer has the better mutton chops.
That is indisputable. Are there smaller moves here that might have fantasy impacts? Like, for example, if the Marlins get a pitcher, does that mean Andrew Heaney has less of a chance to come up and contribute this year? If Gerardo Parra gets traded, is there some fringy outfielder in an NL-only league that, you know, sticks in the lineup like in Ciarte or Peralta? You know what I mean? Anything that we haven't really talked about that's not big and obvious.
I would have went Ender and Carte on that one, but that's why you're hosting the show and I only get to do the intros.
In Ciarte, right?
There's an I in there, yeah. No I in T, but there is one in Ciarte.
What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, in terms of those scenarios, I think you're absolutely right that Heaney would make much less of an impact if the Marlins went out and got a pitcher.
What happens if David Price is traded from the Rays? I mean, is this maybe a chance Mike Montgomery?
I think so. That's a good one.
And he's bounced back from, you know, his struggles. He's actually pitched really well. The Rays did it again. I mean, they're like the reclamation project for all kind of pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah, because Mike Montgomery certainly looked done.
Right. The only thing is if they trade Price, the one rumor going around is, Adam, I don't know if you heard this, but Price to the Cardinals for Tavares and Shelby Miller.
Yeah.
So if they get a pitcher like Shelby Miller, obviously he's going into the rotation.
Yeah, that would be something, that kind of trade. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. The Arizona situation, I don't see anybody too intriguing there. The Phillies, if they deal Marlon Byrd, I think that cements some playing time for Darren Ruff.
Yeah.
And I find that pretty interesting.
That's a rough call.
It is a rough call. Would be a rough call. I'm trying to think if there's any scenario that gets Michael Franco in there. Maybe playing some first base. I don't know.
All right, let's move on. We'll hopefully have some stuff to break down tomorrow. Here's your tweet of the day. It's from Kevin. Is our summer fling with JD Martinez coming to an end?
Absolutely not. I know you said on the show yesterday you were going to drop JD Martinez in that scenario.
I was very reluctant to do so. I forget who the other two options were, but they were more proven guys that were really good. But no, I agree with you, Herc.
Keep
the fling going.
I mean, the only thing is that, listen, he's in a slump, but his numbers were like kind of elevated to the fact that everyone goes through these kind of regressions, and he's in one. But he's too talented and too good of a lineup.
He tripled last night. That was good to see. And they did an interesting thing with the lineup last night, the Tigers. They had Cabrera play third. They had Victor Martinez at first. And then they had all four of their outfielders with one of them occupying the DH spot. So Rajay Davis played. Austin Jackson played. Torrey Hunter was DHing. Tuesday standouts. Well, I do want to start.
Castellanos is hurt. So that was...
Oh, he's hurt.
Yeah.
Well, that makes more sense.
Still interesting.
What's his injury?
I think finger, but I'm not 100% sure there.
All right, Tuesday's standouts include Marcus Stroman. 88% owned. Four of his last five starts have been seven innings and either one earned run or no earned runs. Yesterday it was six hits, one earned in seven innings, two walks and eight strikeouts at Boston. So he looks awesome. So, you know, I brought it up last time he pitched. I am thinking about trading him. I would like to do it, but only if I get something really good back. So what would you guys look for if you were going to trade Stroman? And the reason why I want to do it is just because of the innings. He's in uncharted territory for him in terms of innings, so I don't know that he's going to be able to be really good down the stretch in the last 2 months of the season. What would you look for if you were going to trade Stroman?
I'd look, and I'm blanking on a name right now, but the strategy I would take is to get a pitcher with no innings limit who is underperforming right now.
Homer Bailey.
Yeah, perfect.
Would you do that?
Yeah, I definitely would do that. And if you're looking for a bat, I think maybe Stroman for Jason Heyward would be good because I think Heyward owners just don't give the guy enough credit. And so I think you probably could make that deal.
And the one I brought up with Al off the air, he said, no. I said, I kind of want to trade Marcus Stroman for Cliff Lee. Would you do that? And he said, no. How do you feel about that now?
I don't even remember saying that or sounding like that.
I was going to say, no. How did he do in the Al Melchior impersonation?
You did say no. It sounded nothing like that, but you did say no.
Yeah, I'm still saying no because, look, I'm sure I've got Lee ranked a little higher right now, though I have dropped him in the rankings. But no, I've got a good thing going with Stroman as a Stroman owner, which I'm not, but I'm pretending I'm you.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with that.
Would it change your mind? Adam, you know, pointed out Monday, it wouldn't change his mind if Lee ended up on a contender because he's done well not pitching on a contender.
I don't think it has. I mean, look, it would help some, but he just hasn't looked good coming off the DL.
Not at all.
So that's, I mean, that situation. Yeah, I would trade Stroman for Bailey, but Lee's risky.
You know who else hasn't looked good coming off the DL?
Can't think of
Josh time. Beckett.
Oh, this is true.
Good call yesterday. Al said, sit him. I said, start him. It's a good thing I don't actually own him and didn't have to make that decision. I would have made the wrong one.
Well, before that start was made, I almost sent you a text saying, I don't care what happens with Beckett, you win the bet because you were so right about Dylan G.
Not 100%. Because Dylan G, if we look at that start from yesterday, Dylan G, I think the final numbers were 6 2/3 and 5 earned runs. He only gave up 2 earned runs through 6. Then he ran into a little bit of trouble in the 7th. And then he was removed from the game, and Josh Edgen came in and gave up the grand slam to Chase Utley, and 3 of those runs were charged to G. So it looks bad. 6 2/3, 5 hits, 5 runs, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, but it was 6 innings, 2 runs. The reason why I dropped G in one league for Jock Peterson, he's not striking anybody out right now. So,
Al, I
thought
actually,
he did in
the
previous
few
starts, but he's not a big strikeout guy. But yeah, I mean, okay, fine. I got that one right. We split.
Don't lose faith in Dylan G. Why is that, Al? When I showed you the other day, because he's had bad luck in these few starts.
Oh,
his strand rate's been atrocious. I mean, not even close to the league average. So it's just been kind of like, again, all these guys have kind of market corrections every once in a while, just to, you know, the baseball gods are like, hey, you, this is what we're gonna do for you. We're gonna correct things a little bit, and this is what happens.
The problem with G and why he's not stranding runners lately is he is giving up too many home runs.
Yes, he is.
I made excuses for that yesterday when we talked about him, and then he gave up 2 more. So,
well, are you guys losing faith in Trevor Bauer or Ruby De La Rosa?
Yeah, and both, actually. Especially De La Rosa, because I figured Bauer would have some struggles, but over time, and I know we're kind of running out of time, but over time he would round into form. But De La Rosa's... he's going backwards here. He's not striking guys out.
Yeah, my only concern with De La Rosa is his last 2 starts come against the Blue Jays. And he's faced Marcus Stroman in both starts. So it's been tough matchups.
Yeah, but it's not like, I mean, he hasn't been anywhere close to as good as Stroman. It's not like, you know, like last night, like Strasburg and Alvarez, where it was, you know, a real pitcher's
sure.
duel.
Listen, if he struggles again next start, I'll be concerned. Right now, I'm not, because he's faced the same opponent in back-to-back starts. Trevor Bauer, I was never a fan of Trevor Bauer, so I don't know if I can be concerned about him. So this is what I expected.
Why? Because of his control?
Yeah.
Yeah, that hasn't even really been the problem for
no,
me.
No,
but I mean, he's just
why I'm disappointed. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, just and hitting too. I mean, I know the strikeouts are there, but when he was even getting strikeouts, and it's just he wasn't getting fantasy points or really, you know, moving the meter for rotisserie owners either.
So we've talked about Bauer, we've talked about De La Rosa, we've talked about Dylan G. Would you guys at this point take Francisco Liriano over all three of those guys, Bauer, Ruby De La Rosa, and G? As Liriano went 7 innings last night at the Giants. Gave up 1 run on 4 hits with 1 walk and 11 strikeouts. And in his last 3 starts, 19 innings, 11 hits, 2 earned, 6 walks, 23 Ks.
I have to say no, because I'm pretty sure I have Liriano ranked behind all three of those guys.
Wow.
I think you've got to change your rankings, buddy.
Maybe.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to move up, but it's, again, Francisco Liriano wasn't fantastic before he went on the DL, and he's kind of been up and down since coming off the DL.
Well, he had 1 bad start right off the DL, yeah. And then 3 really good ones. He's only made 4 starts, but the oblique, he says, is fine now. And
I mean, the Pirates are serious contenders, so I, you know, maybe have to give him a bump up for that. Cause he's
what
gonna
is
get,
this contender thing?
Well, you get the wins. That's huge in Roto points leagues as well. See, I went Roto first there.
All right, as long as it's the wins thing. I thought you were making like this, like, whether on a contender he's going to play harder, kind of, I don't know. You're just saying for wins.
Yeah, I mean, the odds of him getting run support and wins is huge. Yeah. So, yeah.
I like Liriano better than all three. While you and Herc were talking, I was kind of going back and forth between Liriano and Bauer. And I do think at this point I trust Liriano a little bit more than Bauer, because maybe he was bad before the DL stint. He was not great coming off of it. But I do think he's got more upside than Bauer, and maybe that's what we saw in this last start.
Would you rather have Kevin Gausman or Francisco Liriano?
Liriano. I'm getting pretty sour on Gausman, too. Gausman, as we were corrected in email.
Oh, because of the Ks?
Gausman? Yeah, I mean, not a lot of Ks, not really very good control, not that terrible, but there's nothing great going on there. Other than he's still got a pretty decent
it's not
ERA.
Gausman.
That's what we got.
Who the
email.
Hell said that?
Somebody, one of our listeners.
No, there's no way that's true. That's what everybody thought it was when he first came up last year, and then immediately I remember watching his first start.
Can we just
like,
refer to him as
that.
Kevin G instead?
No, because then people
Dylan
are
G's brother.
That Orioles guy.
I'll see what good old Kevin Gausman.
Kevin Sent.
Gausman.
I'm calling him Kevin Sent.
I think every time you've asked me this question, I said Gausman, so I'm just going to keep going with Gausman. Until you ask me Gausman or Adam Wainwright.
Well, who are the other? I mean, we pretty much talked about Brandon McCarthy. He pitched yesterday. Didn't pitch particularly well. McCarthy or Ruby De La Rosa?
De La Rosa.
De La Rosa.
All right. So, obviously, Liriano over, well, for Al anyway, over McCarthy. Who else stood out to you guys yesterday?
Kyle Gibson did. Outstanding. I don't know whether to chalk it up to the Royals matchup, but it's been kind of on again, off again for Gibson after he was pretty dominant for about a month, solid. And then since then, it's been good start, bad start, good start, bad start. So I don't really know what to make about it, but this was a very, very good start.
Well, the weird thing, Al, is he was always good at home, right? That was his thing.
Well, I mean, the splits were better. I wouldn't say always good, because he's had some nasty starts at home, too.
The splits were better, but now you look at his last 5 starts for Kyle Gibson, good, bad, good, bad, good, and all 3 of the good ones have been on the road, mm-hmm. And both of the bad ones have been at home. So he's switching it up on us, which to me, he just seems like an extremely unpredictable pitcher.
Well, I didn't put a lot of stock into those splits in the first place because it doesn't make sense for him. It would make more sense for Phil Hughes, a fly ball pitcher. But Gibson, the way he operates, seems like he would be, you know, maybe players generally are a little better at home anyway, mm-hmm. But I wouldn't expect big splits for him.
He did have 7 strikeouts yesterday, but only 61 in 114 and a third. On the season. Herc, how about you? Anything stand out to you?
You know, just 2 guys that fantasy owners have been relying on, Cole Hamels and Tyson Ross. I mean, just with Cole Hamels, you know, Scott had some concerns coming in the season because he started the year on the DL, but it didn't stop me from drafting him, and I'm so glad that, you know, Scott's my boy, but I just have faith Cole Hamels was going to turn another poor season and he's doing a good job. So
yeah, nobody should have any concerns about Cole Hamels at this point. We're at the last start, you remember, 90 strikes.
Yeah.
82. Sorry.
Jeez.
82.
82 strikes in this last one.
Cole Hamels, over his last, I believe it's 16 starts. I'll look it up right now. I mean, he, David Price, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale,
yep.
Felix Hernandez. I don't think I'm leaving anyone out. Those have been the best pitchers in baseball. Cole Hamels has been right up there, but he has not been getting enough run support. He has six freaking wins on the year, which is a shame. And isn't it great how Baseball Reference is using these really old photos?
You got
what is going on?
It's oh, go to Jason Worth. Jason Worth's picture is the absolute best.
13, 14.
Shane Victorino's back from his Phillies days.
Last 16 starts for Cole Hamels, guys. He is 6-3 with a 1.90 ERA, 119 strikeouts in 113 2/3. He's killing it right now. And Tyson Ross walked 5 in the first 3 innings and was still able to have a really good start.
Yep.
Only gave up 1 run, got the win, and 7 of his last 10 starts for Tyson Ross, 1 walk or none. So occasional bouts of wildness.
And this is the reason why I don't have him ranked. I think Scott's, and I don't know about you, Herp, but I think Scott's got Ross higher than I do now. And this is the reason why. I still don't 100% trust the control, but he has been very studly. And you know who had a similar start last night?
Who's that?
Henderson Alvarez.
Yeah, I mean, walks. Yeah,
4 walks, which for him, I mean, is really weird. And either 2 or 3 came in the second inning. I can't remember which. I think it was 2 came in the second inning. But he was take that inning out. He was really good last night.
Oh, he pitched out of bases loaded, nobody out.
Yeah.
What a play by Casey McGee.
That was incredible. Saved at least 2 runs.
Yeah, it was a good one. Hard liner caught by McGee.
Unassisted double play.
J.P. Arencibia, I think we need to talk about here. He hit 2 home runs. He drove in 7. He doubled twice. And even with that big game and those 4 hits yesterday, he's still only hitting .250 since being recalled.
That's better than he was hitting.
Oh, it's a lot better. But you know, it's a tough call. I keep going back and forth. I don't know if you've noticed. I keep adding and dropping him in one of our 2 catcher leagues. I'm terrified about the batting average, but at the same time, so many at-bats and so much power. And maybe he's only 10% owned, J.P. Arencibia. Maybe he needs to be added to more leagues.
He's like Chris Carter, especially in points leagues. I mean, maybe the power is going to be there, but this month's been odd for Chris Carter and his average, which I don't think is going to sustain. But high strikeout rate and high power rate, it balances itself out kind of in points leagues.
Yeah, and
well, points leagues, forget it. You're not owning him in a points league because there's only one catcher in points leagues.
I'm your points leagues guy, though, remember? Al does the roto.
Well, all right, I want to look something up here, actually. Let's just see where Chris Carter ranks.
Well, you're looking that up, I mean, I think in a way it's sort of good news. I think it kind of puts him on a par with Mike Zunino.
Oh, true. That's a good one, too.
I think they've got similar appeal. And
Zunino is like a top 10 roto catcher.
That high, really?
9, 10. He's 11th.
Zunino?
Yeah, he's a 12th. Sorry. Keeps getting a little lower. He's 12th. But Chris Carter would be like the 7th best catcher in fantasy, in roto.
He just needs to don the gear, Chris Carter.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of crazy.
I mean, Adam, go look at the catcher rankings. I mean, from 15 to 20, it's a jumbled mess. And it's Kurt Suzuki's in there. I mean, it's just... It catches not a deep position, so if you're in a 2-catcher league, of course you're going to consider Arencibia.
Well, it says Chris Carter is the 172nd best hitter in roto leagues, and that would make him the 7th best catcher in rotisserie. So, yeah, I mean, if Arencibia, it's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Terrible average, a lot of strikeouts, a lot of home runs. I mean, that's something to consider there. 10% owned. Saying.
You know what Arencibia can do that Chris Carter can't?
What's that?
He can pronounce his whole name with letters.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. J-P-R-N-C-B-A.
Oh, interesting.
Al Melchior.
That could be his vanity plate.
That could be his vanity plate. That's great. Matt Kemp, guys, 2 2-run homers. Last 8 games, batting .452. Those were his first 2 home runs. In that stretch, 5 walks, 5 strikeouts, 9 RBI, double, a triple, Anyone excited about Matt Kemp?
I'm distinctly not. And I somebody on Twitter yesterday asked me, rest of season, Matt Kemp or Charlie Blackmon? And this is how much I've soured on Kemp. I said Blackmon.
All right, how about Yanhervis Solarte, 43% owned. Two home runs with San Diego. He got his second yesterday. He's batting .286 since the trade. He scored 7 runs in 7 games. He's driven in 6. What do you think?
Nah, it's going to be the same thing with the Yankees. Probably going to have this hot stretch and then just kind of fade away. I mean, Petco Park catches up to everyone.
Except Seth Smith.
Worryometer time. Let's get out that worryometer. 0 to 10, 10's a sit. Anibal Sanchez. He gave up 5 runs, 4 earned, and 6 and a third. The strikeouts are back recently, but the results aren't. Last 5 starts, 6.03 ERA, but hasn't really been getting hit that hard. Opponents have only a 7.53 OPS, despite that 6.03 ERA. All right, Anibal Sanchez, 0 to 10, 10's a sit.
He's down to a 4 for me.
Yeah, I was going to say 4.
So not really that worried.
No.
How about Josh Beckett? 0 to 10. 10 is a drop for a guy who's 90% owned, still has great numbers on the year, but has stunk since coming off the DL and gave up 4 runs on 9 hits and 4 and a third last night.
I'll give him a 7.
That's what I was going for.
He's droppable for you. So if...
I think it's a 10's a drop.
Yeah. Well, 7 out of 10 is droppable. Like, consider it.
10
is like, you're dropping him.
Yeah.
7 is... If
he stinks in for another week or two, dropping him.
Yeah, if Ruby De La Rosa is available, I'd do it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a huge Ruby De La Rosa fan, so.
I'm not sure why. It's a little inconsistent.
Listen, his home and road splits aren't great. And, again, it was facing the team he just faced, so they knew him very well.
He stunk the first time against them.
Right, but that was on the road, and he's had his struggles on the road this year.
He's not like he's pitching in a good hitter's park or in a bad hitter's park.
I've done his points breakdown for you 100 times. It's pretty good per start, so don't sleep on this guy.
That's a deceiving number. It could be influenced by wins and losses. Could be influenced by quality starts. Like last night was a quality start, right? 6 innings, 3 runs, terrible whip, no strikeouts. That's the thing about De La Rosa. He's not striking anyone out.
So do you want...
He's got 8 walks and 7 strikeouts in 22 innings over his last 4 starts.
4 and a third innings, 9 hits, 4 runs, 4 walks, and 2 strikeouts?
Oh, no, I absolutely don't. But, you know, Josh Beckett does have a 2.74 ERA, 101 strikeouts and 111 and two-thirds innings this year. If he gets it together, regroups, figures it out, then he's a much better pitcher than Ruby De La Rosa.
I disagree. I like De La Rosa's upside.
Sorry, I got to side with Mr. Razor
right.
here.
It's all right.
You can like his upside all you want, but it's not showing right now. And the fact that De La Rosa, again, has 7 strikeouts over his last 4 starts, what does that tell you? That's got to tell you something.
Hey, again, everyone has bad stretches.
So that's a very low number. That concerns me. All right. Aaron Harang, worryometer on him. 10's a drop.
10.
Oh, it's Aaron Harang. Come on now.
Yeah. All right, we've been saying that all year. Yeah. The only thing that he's really hurting you in is whip. So if you're in a points league, like he's still – I know last night wasn't great, but a bad start for him is 6 innings, 4 runs.
If James Paxton's available.
I'm making that swap for
absolutely.
Sure.
You know, heck, I'll do James Paxton over Josh Beckett. There's a better guy for you.
Fine, but for me, Paxton is like miles ahead of Ruby.
Yeah, I've had Paxton even when he was been out. All season, I've had him really high in my rankings. I owned Paxton in so many leagues. I'm so excited he's coming back.
Yeah, but you got to be cautious. I mean, guys, look at the way Dylan G's pitching off of like a 2-month layoff, and for Paxton, it's even longer.
I'm still Dylan G.
Be patient.
Dylan G is
bad
luck.
Very little major league experience too.
Yeah.
But even last year when he was pitching, he's proven himself.
But look at what Alex Cobb did coming back. It takes a while sometimes. Guys don't just come back and
it does. But, I mean, it's just like with Matt Harvey when I was like, Matt Harvey can't be this good, and Matt Harvey was that good.
Oh, right. A couple programming announcements. No grade the trade today. We'll do that tomorrow.
We are going to do most embarrassing
concerts. But we are going to do most embarrassing concerts. We talked about this
on the
video show.
Now.
All right, so on the video show yesterday, which live noon Eastern, we'll have Heyman on today. It should be good stuff. Al pretended that I was a Maroon 5 fan, whatever, but I'm not.
I just used the wrong verb tense. What is going on with my voice today?
Al, you're double dipping. You got Scott's out. You're filling in so much for him on the air on the video show. You're losing your voice.
It's the peanut butter bagel.
No, I think that's it. I don't think all the work. Yeah, it's peanut butter bagel.
So I said my most embarrassing concert was Lady Gaga, and Al said it was Journey Bryan Adams, which would have been like an amazing concert.
I just remembered one that is far more embarrassing.
What is it?
Well, no, we'll wait till the second.
Okay. You have your most embarrassing concert queued up?
You know, this is going to sound really bad, but I really don't go to concerts.
I had a feeling.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
How many have you been to?
I worked a Willie Nelson concert once. And I believe when I was little, I was taken to like an oldies concert or something like that. Like Tom Jones was there, but
Okay, there you go. That's your most embarrassing.
Okay,
concert.
But I don't go to many concerts, so
that is unusual.
Well played.
Thank you.
We'll have to take Herc to the concert day here at CBS Sports.
Yeah, we'll go to a show. One more Worryometer guy, Jeff Samardzija. Been a little inconsistent lately. Last 12 starts, Samardzija's 4-4 with a 4.23 ERA. And I'm wondering if he's a little overrated because his ERAs in two seasons as a starter with the Cubs before this year were 3.81 and 4.34. So I know the strikeouts are always there, but is Samardzija a little overrated?
I think he is just a little bit, but not to the point where, you know, I think it has any sort of fantasy impact where you can sell him high or anything like that. He's gotten a little overhyped, but he's a must start.
He's a top 30 pitcher.
Yeah,
top 30? I have turned to top 30.
Let's do some injuries, news, and notes. Mike Napoli was out with swelling in his finger. Eric Hosmer returned. Jason Vargas could pitch this weekend in the bigs. Jay Bruce is on the bereavement list. He could be back for the weekend series at Miami. Can I say something really cool, real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? I'm not sure I'm allowed to say it, so never mind. Reverse, rewind.
Like, that's the edit button.
I'll find out tomorrow. Jason Wirth did not start, but he did pinch hit. He could start today. Justin Morneau is off the DL. He had a good game yesterday. Coco Crisp was out again with a neck injury. Jason Hayward expected back today or tomorrow. Eugenio Suarez day-to-day with lower back tightness. Chris Davis was out with flu-like symptoms, possibly the flu. Steve Pierce was at first base. Delman Young was at DH. Pierce had another bad game. Michael Pineda will begin a rehab assignment Sunday, could be back in mid-August. Ubaldo Jimenez made a rehab start, could make another one before being activated. Mark Teixeira returned to the Yankees lineup, he homered at Texas. Aaron Hill was back in the starting lineup. Jose Quintana has 5 Ks in his last 2 starts. What's up with that?
You believe you wrote, what up with that?
I did. What up with that, Quintana? Still pitching well, but... And kinda, that's like Ruby De La Rosa already.
Yeah, kind of threw a little water on my ground ball theory, too. Not a lot of ground balls in that start, either.
Any concerns?
Nah, not really. I mean, he's still, even with fewer strikeouts, fewer ground balls, he's still pretty good.
Michael Morris homered after homering once in his last 40 games. Starling Marte eligible to come off the DL today. Unlikely to happen. Josh Rutledge has been out with an illness, so we were wondering why he was out. He's sick. Brock Holt ended an 0-for-15 skid. Nick Tepish will not start Friday at Cleveland for Texas because of a knee injury, and Jerome Williams will start instead. And San Diego activated Everett Cabrera, and they DFA'd Jason Lane. Poor Jason Lane. Cabrera led off against St. Louis. He went 1-for-4 with a strikeout. Next category, it's all about lineups. Come on and line up. Tommy La Stella. Maybe he'll start getting the grasp of this number 2 hole thing. And he went 7 for his last 11 with a double, 4 walks, and he's 7 for his last 11 with a double, 4 walks, and I think 3 runs scored. You know, we talked about how much it's helped Andrelton Simmons. Maybe it will help Tommy La Stella. So would you rather have La Stella or Dustin Ackley, who batted leadoff last night for the first time this season, or Yan-Hervis Solarte?
La Stella.
Agreed.
And then?
Solarte.
Agreed.
Can you believe that Dustin Ackley is batting .390 in July and something like .366 over his last 28 days, during which he's not even a top 20 second baseman?
Yeah, no power and no RBI production.
Yeah, he's doing absolutely nothing. Now, batting first should help him score more runs.
How long is that going to last? Because it seems Lloyd McClendon switches his leadoff spot every, like, 10 days.
Well, Jones has been so
James,
bad.
And that's the other part of this. James Jones is batting .190 in his last 20 games with 3 steals and 2 doubles, and he was moved down to 9th in the order. So I do think those are significant lineup changes there for the Mariners.
Well, I mean, here, just real quick, when Dustin Ackley, you know, was the number two overall pick, they weren't sure if he was going to have home run power, but they were sure he was going to hit for contact. So if he's it turns into that hitter, yeah, you want to bat him number one because he's going to get on base.
CJ Cron doesn't play enough.
That's
just going to go ahead and say that now.
True. Is that true or false question?
Indisputable.
Well, what does that do for his fantasy value? Does that make him droppable?
Yes.
Nah, I don't think so.
Well, let's say in a 12-team league, Austin Jackson was available. I picked up Austin Jackson.
Oh, then CJ Cron is droppable.
Exactly.
Scooter Jeanette batted seventh again with Carlos Gomez leading off and Jonathan Lucroy batting second. You know, hopefully for Jeanette, they're just waiting for him to get back into the swing of things, but coming off his little brief injury, batting seventh, not good for his value.
Notice Lucroy's cooled off, finally.
Well, Gomez is cooled off too. 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts yesterday. Most embarrassing concerts, part one, and then we'll talk about Gardner, Bonifacio, Utley, Reddick, Polanco.
Please tell me you put
Weaver.
Boys to Men on your list.
No, I picked Lady Gaga. I think that's worse than Boys to Men. But the tickets were free, so that's better.
Free,
but they're both free.
Free after you paid them.
Paid who? All right, most embarrassing concerts, part one. Kyle Keeler, Daughtry. Free tickets /pizza/beer, so I survived. That's pretty bad. Josh Lappin, Barry Manilow. I'll admit, I'm a fan of Low.
That's great.
Kyle Graves, Michael McDonald with my mom. At 25, I was by far the youngest person there.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's the one, by the way, that reminded me of my most embarrassing concert ever.
Are you ready?
Similar genre. Christopher Cross.
Oh. What does he sing?
Ride Like the Wind.
Oh,
Sailing.
Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah, it was very
pretty
bad.
Bad.
Why don't you sing us a tidbit?
It's embarrassing enough that I went to the show.
All right, Super Q 96. When I was 11, new kids on the block. Yes, I was into it. Yes, I am male. Skull Vikings fan 5. LFO / Britney Spears.
Adam Azer has the LFO song on his iPod. I guarantee it.
That's New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits. That
yes,
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, don't lie like you don't have it on your iPod.
I hate that song, dude. James, Skull Vikings fan 5, said he took his girlfriend. To make matters worse, this was my first concert.
So well, I think you can get there. A pass
yeah.
If it's your first show.
Michael Waterloo, it's a tie between Pretty Ricky and 3LW. Not proud of either. I don't know those.
I don't either.
Okay. And Mark Jordan says, The Wiggles still haunts me. You had to do that for your kids.
If you were 17.
Yeah. That's not so bad. What's the worst one so far? I would say LFO, Britney Spears. But you took your girlfriend, so I would actually go with
New Kids on the Block, right?
But he was 11.
Daughtry is so lame.
I don't know. Michael McDonald, that's pretty bad, too.
Yeah, it's bad. All right, the Yankees and the Rangers scored 23 runs. Brett Gardner went 4 for 5 with a home run and 2 doubles, an RBI and 3 runs. He's unbelievable.
I got to ask this question because a few weeks ago, I flipped Gardner for Corey Kluber in 18 AL-only league. I was told it was a ripoff of the century. At the time, Brett Gardner was a top 20 fantasy outfielder, and he still hasn't slid past that. He's still producing.
Pretty even trade.
I thought so.
At this point.
The guy needed an outfielder. I needed a pitcher.
I'd rather have Kluber, though.
Me too. That's why I made the trade.
Al?
Me three.
Jeter went 2 for 5, and Jeter is only really giving you batting average. Maybe he'll start scoring more runs if the Yankees lineup gets better. But he's actually ranked pretty high in the shortstop rankings since his horrible start. We looked at it yesterday on the video show. So, you know, he's a fill-in option. Mark Teixeira homered, walked 3 times. Carlos Beltran, 2 for 5 with 2 RBI. Chase Headley, 1 for 3 with an RBI. And his first 2 walks of July with 24 strikeouts in the month. Elvis Andrews, 3 for 5 with 2 RBI, a run scored, and a steal. Rios, 3 for 5 with a double and 2 runs scored. Aaron Sibbia, a big game. Leonis Martin, 2 for 5 with a triple. And Brian McCann and Shin Soo Choo did nothing. 23 runs scored, and they did nothing. So, anything that you guys want to talk about here with these Yankees and Rangers?
Shin Soo Choo. His production is just awful. I believe I moved him outside of a top 30 fantasy outfielder, and I think he just keeps sliding down the list for me. It's just, I don't see a bounce back, especially if the Rangers aren't going to, they're showing no life at all, and they're in selling mode pretty much.
Yeah, I was starting to get a little encouraged by Chu. No power still, but at least was getting more hits the last few games. But, yeah, this is a bummer.
Three down. There are only two, so two down. Gregory Polanco, six hits in his last nine games, batting .202 in July. Martin Prado, 0-for-4 last night. Now, the strikeouts are decreasing, only eight this month. But even with that, the fantasy production just hasn't been there for Prado. I want to start with Polanco. I really, the more and more I think about it, Harrison homered again last night. I really think there's playing time issues here when Marte comes back for Polanco. Alvarez, too.
Yeah, Alvarez. I'm more worried about him.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. So I think all of this bodes well for Josh Harrison, in my opinion. But what's your take on Polanco and the fact that he's 94% owned and hasn't really justified it recently?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm that worried about his playing time because, like I said, I'm very concerned about Alvarez because there are defensive issues for him that I think are even more pressing. But I, at the very minimum, I am worried about Polanco just performance-wise, even if he continues to get starts, because, you know, I think we talked about this yesterday, I think, that we have very high expectations for these prospects when they come up, and I think this sort of thing is more the norm.
Yeah. Yes, well, again, I'm going to say for the 80th time on the show, market correction. His numbers were really sky high when he came up to the majors. You just got to come back to the norm.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know that he's, you know, this bad, but...
This is what confused me about Prado, guys. Batting .294, .337, .412 in July. And his production is not a lot of strikeouts, and his fantasy production is terrible. If you look at where he ranks over the last 28 days, which is basically the entire month of July, with a .294 batting average, I mean, he's just not that good. So,
quick tangent. Are we going to do like most embarrassing movies one day that we've watched?
Do it tomorrow.
All right,
I'm fine with that. All right, what do you make of Prado? Excuse me.
Yeah. The thing is that, again, he's playing like, if this was on, I guess you could make it the arguments like the Padres. Where's the RBI production come from? Like, he's hitting, like you said. His strikeouts are going down. There's been rumors that he's a guy other teams are interested in, but the Diamondbacks may not trade him because they want his veteran presence there. I had mentioned, somebody asked me about this long list of middle infielders, and I had said Prado, Lowry, and Danny Santana were three choices on that list. I said Lowry was number one for me, but I said Prado was catching him. And at some point, I may move Prado ahead of Lowry. But right now, Lowry's still there. I'm encouraged by his recent run.
No, I mean, the strikeouts are definitely, that's an encouraging sign. But, Herc, as you say, no run production, also very little power.
Hey, guys, we talked about Liriano. We talked about G, Bauer, Ruby De La Rosa. Where does Mike Leake rank amongst those guys? He had a great start last night.
Mike Leake is good, not great. Is that fair to say? You want him in two start weeks. You want him when he has favorable matchups. But he's a fringy starting pitcher.
Jared Weaver. So Jared Weaver, looking at his overall numbers, he's 11-6, .362 ERA. Henderson Alvarez is 8-5 with a .248 ERA. So his ERA is over a run lower. Now he has three less wins. Weaver blows him away in the fantasy standings right now. Weaver's a top 25 starting pitcher. Alvarez is just outside the top 35. They're about 15 spots separated in both points and roto. Weaver's got a great whip, 1.16, and more wins and a lot more innings. So, I don't know. What do you make of that? And Weaver, by the way, Al said sit him yesterday. You just shouldn't start him on the road unless it's like Minnesota. But, you know, he's got a .498 road ERA. What do you make of all that jazz?
Well, I think you summed it up nicely. I mean, they seem, in a way, sort of like similar pitchers. But as contact-prone as Weaver is, Alvarez is even more so. The innings thing kind of surprised me. But Alvarez has had a few starts that he's left early. There's one with a comebacker. There's another one with an injury.
Right, right.
And he just may not go quite as deep into games as Weaver does. I'm not sure.
Even though he has, two or three complete game shutouts?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm sort of hedging on that one.
No. You know what? I wrote the innings down wrong.
Oh, okay.
They're similar in innings. Weaver does have more.
Okay,
but
that's,
they're about seven innings.
Yeah,
apart,
so probably just
which makes it even more surprising.
Those injury shortened starts probably make the difference there because they both go deep into games.
But it makes it even more surprising that Weaver's 15 spots ahead of him in the
well, standings. That's not a huge difference, I don't think. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a huge difference if it's Bunchy, and Weaver is a better strikeout pitcher. And more wins.
I was surprised that Weaver is still a top 25 fantasy starting pitcher this year, and I'm not drafting him next year. He's going to go too high. His stuff gets worse every year. It's only a matter of time, my friend. You heard it here first. Deep leagues, Jordani Valdespin's off to a nice start for Miami, but they did just call up Ed Lucas. Any interest in Valdespin? 1% owned?
NL only.
Chad Jinx. Qualls and Casey Jansen got roughed up last night.
So did Joaquin Soria.
Did he?
Yeah. I think four runs in less than an inning.
Soria did?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he pitched. God, I was very late today. I do apologize to everybody, but I missed some stuff from the box scores. And that's interesting with Soria because they had said they didn't know if he was going to get saves on back-to-back nights.
No, because remember, they said he was going to pitch the seventh, Soria.
You're thinking of Feliz. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Soria, yes, he did get roughed up. And Nathan had a good outing.
Yes.
With a scoreless inning and two strikeouts. Okay, that's
so that yeah, it speaks to my Braden Looper theory.
Adam's still like stuck in 2 weeks ago, like he's on his Rangers mode.
I've been mixing those two.
Soria, six hits and four runs in a third of an inning. Anyway, Casey Jansen's been really bad since the All Star break. Worryometer.
Three.
Four. Not great alternatives.
Most Embarrassing Concerts Part 2. We'll finish the show with Nicholas Loescher. Dixie Chicks went with my ex-girlfriend about 15 years ago, and they were actually really good, surprisingly. Well, they're talented.
I don't think that's an embarrassing concert.
Yeah.
Trevor Davis, Beach Boys, 1988, John Stamos on the drums. No joke, I was 10.
You know, even with John Stamos, I don't think that's that embarrassing.
Nah, no.
Tyler Wilhite. Oh, this is the winner. I've seen Papa Roach three times, and I have their guitar player's autograph back in my rap/rock phase in high school. Todd Osmond, this one might be the winner too. The Village People with my mom.
That's the winner.
Girth Algar, I brought my mother to a Luther Vandross concert. It was horrific. Big Nick. Dionne Warwick in Lake Tahoe with my parents. She used a recorded voice track to sing a duet. It was just sad. I have no idea who that is.
Dionne Warwick?
Yeah, who is that?
Oh, wow. Well, she was part of the We Are the World thing, and she was a big deal in the 60s.
Did you know who that was, her?
No.
Okay,
really.
Good.
I've heard her.
Do you know the way to San Jose? You must know the song.
That's
her.
Mike Thomas, Britney Spears, went with a friend for his birthday. Old enough to know I didn't belong, too young to drink the night away. And Nick Fern says, Jessica Simpson, .. and I paid for that.
Ding, 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 ding.
No, I think Papa Roach three times is the winner for me. And Village People with my mom is also hilarious. All right, that's good stuff, guys. Thank you very much.
Wait, we're doing embarrassing movies that we've seen tomorrow?
Sure.
I was already thinking of some. I'm laughing in my head. That I can't believe I watched these movies.
I'm sure I could come up with
you've seen?
A few.
It's too much, but I would like to say that I saw...
Pay money for, I think.
For the first time yesterday, I watched The Graduate. It was very good.
Yeah?
For a movie in 1967, it was very good.
I probably hate it.
No, I actually didn't like it that much until the last, 10 seconds of the movie, which are awesome.
Right.
So, goodbye, everyone.
Plastics.
Let's take a guess.